You're listening to the podcast.
There's something quietly unnerving about watching a society reward loud ignorance. Not just tolerate it, reward it. In meetings, in media, in parliament. The more uninformed the take, the louder the applause. And in the background, the quiet crumbling of systems meant to sharpen us. Education budgets are being slashed year after year. Public libraries turned into relics, a growing population with less access to quality education and even less encouragement to question what they're taught. This is how idiocracy spreads, not always through force, but through slow neglect, through the deliberate underfunding of education, through a culture that treats critical thinking like an optional accessory, through institutions that fail people, then blame them for failing. And once idiocracy takes root, sycophancy follows close behind. Because in a space where logic is optional and literacy is on the decline, the loudest voice often belongs to the ones that saying yes. Not because it's right, but because it's safest and easiest. So in this episode, we're tracing the path from neglected minds to loyal mouths. From the decay of critical thought to the rise of strategic praise singing. It's not just a Kenyan story, but today we're telling it from here. I'm your host, Lorizi F, and the F is for...
Hey,
O-M-E-N-E-S.
Hey, you're listening to the podcast. Omenad Podcast.
In the wild terrain of modern society, few forces shape the fate of a nation more than the quality of its thought. But what happens when the thinking is dulled, simplified, and outsourced entirely? Enter the age of idiocracy, and it doesn't arrive alone. We begin in the classroom, once imagined as the cradle of curiosity and the breeding ground for future change makers. The education system today has become an underfunded afterthought. Year after year, education budgets shrink like natural hair on a rainy day. And somehow we're surprised when the quality of critical thinking collapses right alongside it. Instead of nurturing inquiry, our schools reward compliance. Rote learning reigns supreme. You memorize, you pass. You question, you're disruptive. We raise students to regurgitate facts, not to challenge systems. The end result? Generations that know what to think, but not how to think. Then we toss these under-resourced minds into a digital universe designed not to inform, but to enrage. Let's talk about algorithms. In the current media ecosystem, the truth isn't what wins, the loudest voice does. Social platforms are built to prioritize attention over accuracy. Outrage is profitable. Simplicity sells. The more dramatic, polarizing, or tribal the message, the further it goes. The digital citizen isn't encouraged to verify, they are nudged to react. Fact-checking has all but left the group chat. And with media literacy on the decline, the cycle continues. We scroll past nuanced takes in favor of catchy headlines. Echo chambers become tighter, and soon, critical thought starts to feel like an inconvenience. But the real danger? Idiocracy isn't just a glitch in the system. Sometimes it's by design. Because in an environment where questioning is rare and simplistic answers are enough, the people in power thrive. When citizens are distracted, polarized, or underinformed, the job of the ruling class becomes less about leadership and more about optics. This is the part where idiocracy gives way to sycophancy. See, once intellectual rigor disappears from public life, we stop expecting ideas. We start rewarding loyalty. Loud, uncritical, unwavering loyalty.
I think many people misunderstood the president, and I've seen that it's been taken out of context when he said that we have stopped abductions and that people have been returned to their homes. The fact that we are saying as government we have been able to stop abductions, the same way I have told you here, we have been able to stop illegal mining. in Moyale. It's the same way we have told you we have been able to stop drug trafficking or reduce drug trafficking in this area. It doesn't mean that we were the ones doing it. The same way the president spoke about we have been able to stop...
In this climate, competence becomes negotiable, but flattery, now that's non-negotiable. The more absurd the praise, the higher the reward. Political spaces begin to look less like forums for national progress and more like talent shows for who can clap the loudest. Psychofancy thrives where dissent is shamed, where independence is punished, where mediocrity is spun as brilliance, often by people who know better but have chosen self-interest over integrity. And this isn't just about leaders, it trickles down. From boardrooms to social media, we start to see a culture where challenging authority is seen as ungrateful, unpatriotic, and everybody's favorite word, bitter. People avoid asking hard questions because doing so might cost them access, status, and opportunity. Silence becomes strategy, applause becomes currency. And let's be honest, in a country like Kenya, where the lines between politics, business, and media blur like cheap makeup in the rain, this dynamic is amplified. Psychofancy doesn't just exist. It's televised. It trends. It gets contracts. It gets invited to State House. So yes, idiocracy and psychofancy go hand in hand. One makes thinking difficult, the other makes obedience easy. Together, they create a society where substance is secondary and symbolism reigns. But here's the thing. None of this happens in a vacuum. When education is defunded, media literacy declines and public discourse becomes a performance. The space left behind gets filled with noise. And unless we name the pattern, the cycle will continue. Louder, lazier, and more dangerous. Because idiocracy doesn't just make bad decisions, it makes bad decisions look normal. It floods the airwaves with distraction, it turns leadership into performance art. It convinces you that anybody asking questions is too complicated or too negative. It rewards mediocrity and treats excellence with suspicion. And psychofancy, that's the glue that holds this whole hollow structure together. Psychofancy doesn't just flatter the powerful. It insulates them. It builds echo chambers around authority figures, turning critique into taboo. It makes leaders feel brilliant. It lets incompetence run on autopilot. And it convinces the rest of us that speaking up is dangerous or worse, pointless. This is how we end up with institutions that fail upwards. People in positions of power who are more concerned with being liked than being right. Policies are shaped not by evidence, but by ego. And the public might be too tired or too scared to challenge any of this. Idiocracy, when left unchecked, dulls the collective mind. Psychofancy dulls the collective conscience. Together, they rob us of progress. They silence innovation. They stifle dissent. They make it harder to imagine better because they punish anyone who tries. In the long run, this combination weakens everything. Our politics, our workplaces, our creativity, even our sense of national self-worth. What should be a marketplace of ideas becomes a marketplace of vibes. Perform your loyalty, keep it shallow, don't ask too many questions. And the worst part, once this system is in place, it starts to look normal. It becomes the default setting. The loudest are assumed to be the smartest. The obedient are mistaken for the competent. The rest of us, we're just scrolling, sharing memes, and hoping somebody else will fix it.
And here, in the concrete savannah of modern-day Kenya, we encounter a curious pair. The ever-confident commentator and their loyal sidekick, the professional psychopath. The commentator, often under-informed but always loud, makes his presence known with bold declarations, frequent hot takes, and an uncanny ability to speak uninterrupted for minutes on end, even when saying absolutely nothing. observe how the sycophant quickly swoops in, nodding with the enthusiasm of somebody trying to get promoted via vibes alone. Their job? To retweet, clap, and type fire emoji, fire emoji, fire emoji under every post, even the ones that barely qualify as coherent. Together, they form a thriving ecosystem where logic is optional and popularity is currency. Those who question the alpha are met with swift retaliation, mockery, vague subtweets, and accusations of being too deep. Without natural predators like critical thinking, nuance, or data, this species has multiplied rapidly, dominating timelines, panel discussions, and press conferences alike. It is survival of the loudest. Truly a marvel of modern evolution, or perhaps a warning.
Hey!
O-M-E-N-E-S.
Hey! You're listening to the podcast.
Friend?
Omenad's podcast.
So what have we learned today? That when idiocracy links arms with psychofancy, it's not just embarrassing, it's dangerous. And if we don't interrupt the cycle, we risk normalizing the nonsense. But here's the thing. This isn't a lost cause. The antidote isn't grand or complicated. It's curiosity. It's critical thinking. It's refusing to clap just because everybody else is clapping. Ask questions. Read widely. Support independent thinkers. Teach the kids better. Challenge the bootlicking. It sounds basic, but in a society where common sense is starting to feel like contraband, that's a small revolution. You know what I'm saying? I've been your host, Lorizi F, and today the F is for... Until next time, question loudly, think slowly, and clap wisely.
Hey!
O-M-E-N-E-S.
Hey! You're listening to the podcast.
Friend?
Omenad
podcast.
Rona Zizi kama wa Kenya, kitu hatujui, ni hiyo kitu yenye hatujui, ni nini hiyo hatujui. Sasa hii tunasumbuka na hiyo kitu yenye hatujui. Kila kitu kingine tunajua. Na tukijua hiyo yenye hatujui, hiyo mtajua hamujui. Sijui mnaelewa.